Timothy chapter 4. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. And no, I'm not preaching a shorter service tonight. Sorry, Super Bowl fans. Amen. Praise God for DVD, VCRs. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8. 2 Timothy 4. Yeah, I'm a spiritual guy. What do you want? 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. I'll give you a second to find it. Good to see you, folks. Thank you so much for coming. Anybody too hot in here? Anybody too warm? Okay, good. All right, good. I run kind of hot, so it's kind of warm in here tonight. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. When you found it, if you could, would you please stand? Read a couple verses there. And you can be seated. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. And God's word says this, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 4, the book of 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And tonight I just want to preach on one simple word, finish. Finish. Have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you. I thank you and praise you for how good you are. Lord, I pray you bless this time, be with these dear folks. I pray you bless them. Thank you for them, God. I pray you help us as Christians to desire to finish our course, Lord. Please, God, help us. We're living in a day and age of people who are laying down what's right, compromising, going the wrong direction, or just simply giving up. Help us to desire to finish right, to finish strong. Until you come back, Jesus Christ, or you call us home, help us to keep going our course and finish strong, Lord. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for salvation. Thank you again for the wonderful testimony of our salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. Also, we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right, let me get into it if I can. Excuse me. Here the Apostle Paul, he is writing the second letter to Timothy. Timothy, as many of you might know, he is a younger preacher. And although he is not Paul's biological son, he's referred to by Paul on more than one occasion as his son in the faith. So again, there's no biological connection between Paul and son, more a mentor type of thing, to the point where Paul feels almost like a father figure to Timothy, a great mentor for him. And here in this letter, Paul is at the end of his life. Actually, it's believed that this is the final book that God would have Paul pen before he'd be martyred for the faith. And he makes a statement here in verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Remember, folks, Paul's at the end of his life, as I just mentioned to you, and he says that he has finished his course and he has kept the faith, meaning he has not compromised from the Word of God. He has kept a stellar testimony, if you would. And listen, when I read verse 7, I think of whenever I read verse 7, I always think of Matthew 25, 21, which says this in Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I always think of that verse when I read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, Paul was faithful to the end. And I believe that many of us in this room desire that to be said of our own lives. Just to be faithful to the end, to finish right, to finish well. I would love to have that inscribed on my tombstone if I earn that, in a sense, if I finish right, finish well. This might sound kind of weird to you, but every now and then I like going through a cemetery and looking at different tombstones. I know up in the cemetery in Burton Cemetery, there they have tombstones way back to the Civil War era. I think there's actually one or two from the Revolutionary War. It's just so far back in the 1700s. It's a really, really old cemetery back there. But I love the ones I'll come across, and there are a bunch of them that have different religious sayings or a couple Bible verses on there. And I just think, man, praise God, I know where that person is today. They're living up in heaven, seeing the face of Jesus Christ. And praise God for the thought to finish right, to finish well, to have that inscribed, if you would, on our tombstone, finishing for the Lord. Now, let me make one more statement here. We'll bring the introduction together and head on to the message here. Go to Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 18. Romans 7, 14 to 18. So again, I mentioned Paul, he kept a stellar testimony. He finished right. He finished well. But look at Romans 7, verse 14 to 18, if I could. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 18. It says this. Paul again talking here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Remember, folks, this is the same Apostle Paul who finished right. The same Apostle Paul who had an amazing testimony for God. And he says in verse 14, he says he is carnal. That's his words under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says in verse 18, there dwelleth no good thing in his flesh. And I know we did not read it, but in verse 21, he says, evil is present with me. Paul made it very clear in these verses that he battles with sin, that he gives in to sin, and that he is a sinner just like you and I. Just like you and I. And the point I'm trying to make here, I'm not trying to be critical of Paul or minimize him necessarily as a human being, but just make it very simple that this man, Paul, who said he finished his course and did right, that good and faithful servant, was just like you and I. Just like you and I. A sinner saved by grace, just like you and I. A sinner saved by grace. So having said that, I want to spend a few minutes on this matter of finishing. Again, a godly man, certainly a benchmark, humanly speaking, for us to follow as a good example, as he mentioned several times in that Word of God, which God has him pen. But that good man, as a godly man, was a man who also was a sinner. And yet he finished his course. So let me give you just a few simple things, if I can. They're all found in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. Those three phrases. The first one is this. In the Christian life, you'll realize that it is a fight. In the Christian life, you'll realize that it is a fight. 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. Now please don't misunderstand me, my friend. I'm not saying life is horrible. Not at all. I love the Christian life, watching God work in my life. I love the other saints, the saints of God that I talk to in this church or other churches around, who are praising God in the midst of the storm, rejoicing in the Lord, and just praising God for the life they live and the life they'll eventually get to live for all eternity in heaven. I love talking to folks like that. It encourages me. But we have to understand, my friend, in order to fight the battle, we have to know who the enemy is. In order to fight the battle, we have to know who the enemy is. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. So we know that in the Christian life, it is a fight. It's a praise God for the wonderful Christian life to serve Him, but it's not always easy. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Again, this is Paul talking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. To succeed in the Christian life, we have to understand that we're not fighting other people. That's not the fight in the Christian life. You don't fight other people. And listen, let me take it one step further. Because if you do that, if your mindset as a Christian is going to fight other people, you're actually fighting on the enemy's side. You really are. I've heard it put like this. We are wasting our time fighting people. Some Christian groups spend their time fighting other Christians while people go to hell. I remember, listen, you can say what you want about those blogs. Okay, you might have a blog, and praise God if you do. It's fine. I'm not trying to criticize you. But I remember when I first got in pastoring, and there were a couple other men I knew who were pastoring, and they spent, instead of spending their time soul winning, they spent hours and hours blogging back and forth. What good does that do? All it's trying to say who is a better Christian. It's a bunch of hogwash. It's full of pride. Spending hours on the internet blogging back and forth while you're the better Christian or better this, better that. The people are dying and going to hell all around you, and no one's out. They're not seeing people get saved. They're wasting their time fighting other Christians. And it really, I'll spend like 2 minutes reading about three or four paragraphs into it, and you want to throw up. I'm the Super Joe Christian. No, I am back and forth arguing. And people all around you are dying and going to hell. The enemy loves that stuff. He loves it because we're not supposed... Listen, if you're wasting your time in the Christian life fighting other people, you're missing it. You're missing it. What does the Bible say when someone does you wrong? Turn the cheek. Man, turn the cheek and move on and do something for God. Don't spend your life fighting other people. And so, again, to succeed in the Christian life, we have to understand we're not fighting other people. Because, again, you're fighting the enemy's side if you do that. You're not doing it for the Lord. We are not fighting or wrestle not against flesh and blood, the physical, but rather we fight against the spiritual. That's why that armor of protection found in the rest of Ephesians 6 is spiritual in nature. Brother Childress is a soldier. He has a lot of armor or different types of things he puts on to protect himself out in the field. And all you folks have been in the military. My dad was in the military when he was young. He would tell us, my boys, about different types of military, use the word armor, for lack of a better word, to put on to protect himself. And they need that for the physical. But as far as the spiritual is concerned, we don't put on physical armor. It's spiritual nature. Why? Because we're fighting a spiritual battle. I'm not going to get into it for sake of time, but if you in verse 14, it talks about, actually look at Ephesians 6:14 real quick if we could. I turn there myself. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." In verse 14, having truth on your loins, the understanding of what's biblically right and holy. Also in verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness, that godly lifestyle, that love for God and man that protects your heart as a breastplate does. If you're taking notes, you can put next to verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. It also talks about that same breastplate. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, it says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. So we see there the idea of having that godly lifestyle, love for God, love for others. It protects your heart. It keeps bitterness away. It keeps your heart pure, if you will. Just love God, love people, and do right. It helps you have helps. It prevents us from getting grudges, getting bitter, getting a sideways away from God. That wonderful breastplate of righteousness. In verse 15, Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We see that there. And again, if you want to put on a cross-reference next to verse 15, you can put Romans chapter 10:15. Romans 10:15 says this, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Listen, being able to get the gospel out. I'll never forget the story about Mrs. Marie Rigney, who's in heaven today. When I went on staff there in Faith Baptist in Bourbonnais, Miss Marie Rigney was older. She was probably, I'm not sure her age, I don't want to misquote her. She was up in years, a senior saint, godly woman. She helped out. I heard the testimony of that woman, how she helped constantly helping with the ladies in different things, nursery, baby showers, wedding showers, whatever the case, she was everywhere. But as you know what happens when you get older, things stop working. And things are harder and harder to function, if you will. And as she started slowing down, she could do less and less. Couldn't go out soul winning like she used to. And I heard the story about her as she would take a phone book, open the phone book up and find a name randomly and pick up the phone and call and say, hello, you don't know me. My name is Miss Marie Rigney. I'm from Faith Baptist Church. I want to tell you about a wonderful church I go to, Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Would love to invite you out there. And this woman would have a conversation with complete strangers on the phone because she understood the need to get the gospel out. But the point I'm making, folks, while you're younger, hey, use these things to get the gospel out. Go hand a tract to someone out. Knock on a door. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. Because you never know how much time left you have to do that. So again, we see there in verse 15, having the gospel of peace on our feet. Verse 16, Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those first two words, above all, in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. Faith. Trusting and believing in God and His Word and acting on it. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you believe not only that His blood can save you, and you acted on it by asking Him to come in your heart as your personal Savior. Faith is not just believing, it's also doing something about it. Take a step of faith. We took a step of faith in buying this building. Some of you remember when we had that meeting, we had a bunch of people that voted on that whole situation. I put the PowerPoint slide up there. We're in the old building. I showed the comparison of expenses. I showed how much expenses were in the old Pear Tree Villa, how much expenses would be in the new church here and up here in North 30th Street. I explained based on the income we had, we would go in the hole drastically. And praise God, there was 100% vote to go forward and buy that building. This church took a step of faith, and praise God, the bills are getting paid. Amen. God's been good. I thank God for him. Hey, taking a step of faith, having that shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Just going forward by grace, taking a step of faith, trusting God. That God says that God can do it. God can take care of it. He can bless. Not letting those dark, fiery darts of doubt, of indecision, of a desire, not understanding which way to go, and just trusting God with that wonderful shield of faith. And of course, verse 17 says this, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That helmet goes on your head. Why? Hey, you know you're saved. How many of us, when we first got saved, struggled with eternal security? Am I saved? Am I not? Satan plays with your mind. He's good at that, my friend. He really is good at that, playing with your mind and just getting it settled. I know I'm saved. Get in the helmet of salvation. Don't let Satan get in your head and talk you out of your salvation. When you trusted Christ, you were there. If you meant it, praise God, you're born again. No one can talk you out of that. And of course, the last weapon there, or last piece of armor, I should say, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And by the way, that is the only offensive weapon. The only one. That sword is not a defense. You don't use a sword defensively. I guess you could, but it's made to be used offensively to strike, to go forward. And I love the illustration or the verses, the story there in the garden, in that desert when Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan those three times. All three times, all he had to use was the word of God. The Son of God was okay with that. We should be okay. Quoting Bible when you're discouraged. Quoting Bible when you're down. Quoting Bible when you don't know what to do. Getting in God's word when temptation comes your way, huh? This thing will help you every step of the way, my friend. It is there for the novice and the mature Christian alike. No matter who we are in the faith, where we are in that Christian life, that wonderful word of God can help us offensively to go forward for the Lord. So praise the Lord for those wonderful, wonderful armor there. But again, the point I'm trying to make, looking at that armor of God, the battle is not in the physical, but the spiritual. Living right by God and believing His word is the only way to go. Trusting Him. And when the battle rages, such as those thoughts that enter into your mind to do wrong or go the wrong direction or make a wrong decision, which is where the majority of the battle takes place, in our mind, you can have victory by not entertaining or acting on those thoughts. If you would, go to 2 Corinthians 10:5, talking about the battlefield of the mind. This is a great verse to memorize, 2 Corinthians 10:5. A great verse to memorize. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. With God's help, putting those thoughts in jail, getting them away from you, putting them in captivity. Not entertaining those thoughts. God, help me get that thought away from you. That's when this Bible comes in handy, my friend. Satan knows what he's doing. Throws our flesh. Puts those thoughts in our head to think. I think of David when he should have been out there, of course, with the kings in the battle, and he stayed back, and of course saw Bathsheba. Of course, when that first thought to stay back home, and if a godly preacher or prophet says, "Hey, David, listen, you should be out there with the kings. Don't stay back home. Don't entertain the thought of staying back home." If someone told him that, maybe he would have went out to battle. If he went out to battle, he never would have stayed home. He never would have saw Bathsheba. He never would have committed that horrible act, which cost him a whole bunch of consequences down the road. Hey, listen, it all begins with what? A simple thought. Every sin begins with a thought. You ever thought about that? Every sin begins here. If we can stop it here, you might stop it from coming to fruition. So it's fighting a good fight, having that spiritual armor on, doing right and trusting God, living for Him, and with His help, getting victories in your life. Listen, it's a fight, my friend, and some days it's hard, and some days you're going to get up and Satan's all over your flesh, all over you. Some days you're just in that mood where you don't want to read your Bible, you don't want to pray, you don't want to do right by God, and just the flesh is carnal. Hey, you ever been there, my friend? I've been there before. I know what that's like, and many of us do in this room, and you just feel that flesh rising up, and that's when you need the help from the Word of God to help you, to strengthen you. It is a fight. With God's help, you can get the victory. Because He said, I fought a good fight. He didn't quit. He said, I fought a good fight. It's a fight, my friends, a fight every day, but praise God for the grace of God to get us through in this Word of God. So number one, in the Christian life, you'll realize that it is a fight. Number two, in the Christian life, finish your course. Again, 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. In other words, don't quit. Don't quit. A story is told about a boy who was competing in a half-mile race in an elementary school. It was two laps around that big track was for the half-mile. When the starting gun sounded, he quickly leapt ahead of everyone and built a sizable lead. By the time he completed the first lap halfway through, he was already half a lap ahead of the other runners. However, when he was about halfway around the final lap, he began slowing down considerably. If he could just see the finish line, he would finish well. He just needed to get around the final curve to see that finish line. But the other runners were steadily gaining on him. When he was getting close to the finish line, one of the runners caught him and got ahead. At that point, all he had to do was just look forward and see that finish line was right there. Just look ahead and see the finish line. That might have given him that extra effort, the extra adrenaline rush to finish that race and win. But all that boy could do was look at the other runner who was ahead of him, and eventually he quit because it was too hard. It was no use. He couldn't win anyway, and he gave up. Listen, my friend, we understand when we get saved, we're excited. We're on our way to heaven. You remember when you first got saved, trusted Christ, the excitement of knowing you're going to heaven. And we have a love for the Lord, and that's so new as a born-again Christian. We have got to keep our focus on the Lord and a love for Him. We've got to do that. We're reminded of the love He has for us and be in love with Him and stay in love with Him. Hey, what makes a marriage so special is to stay in love with your spouse. Keep in love with your spouse. Hey, husbands, date your wife. Take them out. Wives, love your husbands. Do nice things for them, vice versa, back and forth. Listen, that keeps it exciting. Just stay in love with your spouse. Stay in love with Jesus Christ. Stay in love with Him. That's what the whole Christian life is, being in love with Him. Think back to the marriage example. If your marriage becomes mechanical, well, I got to do this for her. It's her birthday. I got to buy this for her. Or I got to do this for him because he likes this type of food. I got to do this. And it's all is nothing mechanical. You have to. It ruins the excitement of the marriage. I know those times happen. There are times when you have to. Understand that. That should always be the way it is. And in the Christian life, it's no different. Praise God, I'm saved. Hey, friend, it would do us well. Think back to the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. To go back and remember when you got saved and what it was like when you trusted Christ. It would do us well to remember that first prayer He answered. It would do us well to remember back to the first time God just gave you a victory. You knew it was God. It was nothing else that could explain it. It was God who blessed you. Think back to those special things of love He's done for you. Keeps you in love with Him. Stay in love with Him. What keeps me going so many times, nothing more than the fact that Jesus Christ loves me and He died for me and it helps me to stay in love with Him. It really does. I keep that in my mind. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. You understand, you've heard about the Christian life. It is a marathon. Paul said, I finished my course. It is a marathon, and we've got to keep looking to Him for direction. If you would, take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 20. Deuteronomy 17, verse 20, if you would. That finishing our course, keep going forward. Deuteronomy 17, verse 20. It says this, Deuteronomy 17:20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left. I'll stop there. The course of the Lord is on the straight and narrow. The problem is there are a whole bunch of side trails along the way, if we're not careful, to get us off from going on the straight and narrow, to go to the right hand or to the left hand if we're not careful. A side trail of money that can get us off course. A side trail of rigors of life that can get us off course and cause us to quit. A side trail of the wrong relationships that can get us off course. And let me say one more thing about this course. If it's straight, it means you're doing the same thing day after day. You just keep going forward. Sometimes those habits are the things that keep you going forward. Just every day getting up and reading your Bible. Well, you read your Bible yesterday, you read it today, and you read it tomorrow. You prayed yesterday, you pray today, you pray tomorrow. You did right yesterday, you try to do right today, and do right tomorrow. Just those habits. Because if the course is straight, it's just doing the same thing, if you would. Not boring, if you will, not mechanical, but those things that help you keep going forward for God. Just one foot in front of the other. Just staying right by God. Not changing anything. Keep reading your Bible every day. Don't change that. Keep going to church faithfully every week. Don't change that. Keep the same conviction and godly habits. Don't change that. Just keep going forward for God. Don't change a thing, my friend. Don't change a thing. To stay on the course, to finish your course. So in the Christian life, number one, you'll realize that it is a fight. Number two, in the Christian life, finish your course. And of course, the last one here says, in the Christian life, keep the faith. And again, 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In other words, don't compromise. Don't compromise. If the Bible truths and principles were accurate 50 years ago, they're still true today. They're still accurate today. Nothing changes. The King James Bible is still the only accurate version out there. Separation standards are still right. Holy living is still the only way we're supposed to live. On any given day, people know we're Christians by our actions and our lifestyle. And listen, if you keep doing right, you keep keeping the faith, you're holding that banner high of the Christian life, that other people see, hey, listen, I'm not compromising. Staying right to the end. Not compromising. The same way I was 20 years ago that I am today. I remember when I was in Bible college, Pastor Gomez would preach. And Pastor Gomez, you know him, he has a different way of preaching. He's hard. He's hard. And Pastor Gomez would preach, and he said, 30 years ago when we first took Northwest Bible Baptist Church, I preached the same thing I am today. I have not changed one minute or one thing or one iota. I have still preached it straight, still preached it true, still preached it right. And praise God for those people, those men of God, women of God who are still doing it right. Just not giving up, not compromising, keeping it straight until the end. Let me just give one last thing here while I close up the message here tonight, if I can. God didn't have an angel write 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. God didn't have Jesus Christ himself, who was perfect and never sinned, write the book of 2 Timothy. But he had a man who was flesh and blood like you and I. A man who he mentioned in the beginning gives into sin and makes mistakes like you and I. And if that man, that Apostle Paul, can honestly say, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, so too can we. And can I say this to my friend, parents, grandparents, if we can have that testimony, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, we can be a godly example to our children and our grandchildren. They can see a mom or a grandma or a dad or a grandpa who has stayed right, has not wavered, not compromised, not strayed. And listen, if grandpa or grandma or mom or dad did that, praise God, with God's grace, so too can I. There's so much at stake, folks. Just keep it straight. Keep the faith. Don't quit. And by the way, if you're in 2 Timothy, look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. We'll close with this verse. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Paul says this. After verse 7, he says in verse 8, 2 Timothy 4, henceforth there is lit up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Then he says this at the end of the verse, and not to me only. It's not just for me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Listen, my friend, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for every single one of us that finish right. All those that love his appearing. As I said earlier, stay in love with Jesus Christ. It will give you the strength to stay in the fight, to keep going on the straight course and to finish the faith. It'll be worth it all, I promise you, my friend. Look, you want to finish. You want to finish right. It's not going to happen by accident. There's got to be some decisions you're going to make. There's got to be some habits you got to put in place. There's got to be some things you're just going to determine you're going to do and not going to do. I'm going to finish right. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep that fight. I'm going to fight a good faith. I'm going to keep the faith. Finish my course. Keep going forward for the Lord. And by His grace, when I breathe my last breath, I can wake up in glory and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And all those people left behind on earth who see those of us who finish right, by God's grace, they can say, "Hey, praise God, he or she finished right. By God's grace, so can I." What a godly example we can be for the next generation. Let me ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes.